New York City police have named a suspect in yesterday's attack on a subway car in Brooklyn. While no one died in this mass shooting, there are a lot of people in New York and around the country on edge as gun violence continues to rise. To try to understand what's behind this and the effect it's having on people, we're joined by Professor Jeffrey Butts, director of the Research and Evaluation Center at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. And Professor Butts, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. There's still a lot we don't know about yesterday's attack, but we do know that it left lots of people feeling scared and worried. How are New Yorkers responding to this, in your view?
I think we're a pretty hardy breed. I mean, you have to remember what New Yorkers have been through over the last 20 years, 22 years. But it always takes you by surprise. I think part of the trauma is from witnessing the images so often with everyone taking video of these incidents more than the facts. We just relive them constantly when we talk about them and see the images over and over.
Yeah. And say a little bit more about that. What impact does it have to hear about these incidents day in and day out? Because I'm looking at statistics, for example, there have already been over 130 reported mass shootings in the U.S. this year. What impact does this have on folks to see this stuff and hear about it day in and day out?
There are some strange days where you don't realize there was a mass shooting until the next day, and it tells you that it did not make the news. So we all hear about Ukraine all the time, and then you find out there was six people shot somewhere in a different state. And that's very concerning that our country has gotten used to this. And our political officials seemingly have accepted it. And we still have states passing laws to expand the right to carry guns without a permit. Just it seems like we are living with all these contradictions.
Right. Well, let's stick with that idea of gun violence. It's been on the rise since historic lows in 2018 and 2019. What's been driving this? You mentioned more and more states passing less restrictive gun laws. Do you think that's a big part of what's behind this?
It's a part of it. The problem is you never quite fully understand a social phenomenon like this until enough time has gone by to assemble all the data to start picking apart what the real influences are. All these pop theories develop, including some that are embraced by public officials, like justice reform, bail reform. Empirically, that doesn't stand up, but it doesn't stop political officials from pointing to that as a cause. I think it's also respectable when people criticize the easy attribution of these shootings to COVID or the pandemic. But it's hard to exclude the possibility that the pandemic disrupted so many social institutions in our daily lives that it changed the rules of the game. It's now perfectly acceptable to walk down a public street wearing a mask and sunglasses and a hoodie so that no one can tell who you are. It gives social permission or implicit permission to misbehave, and I think that contributes.
I want to ask you about another sort of attribute of yesterday's attack, and that is the seemingly randomness of the attack. I mean, I think most of us want to feel safe in public spaces. And in fact, I guess statistically, public spaces are generally safe. But attacks like yesterday can make us think that a daily ride on a subway is something to fear. How do we need to process this, to make sense of this randomness of yesterday's attack?
Yeah, well, bad things happen at random all the time. I used to have this conversation with my late mother, who worried about me living in New York City. And I would tell her she was actually at least as much at risk in her small town in Ohio as I was here in New York. So it's a function of probability. But we don't respond emotionally to probabilities. We respond to the trauma in the images. And I heard a police official here say, the problem with an attack on a train is that it's all of our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in your mind, you think, wait a minute, I was on that train last week, and it connects with you more.
Right, right. I didn't intend to sort of turn you into our therapist here, but what's the best way for folks who, you know, may be feeling exhausted and scared, how to process this going forward?
It always helps to actually do some investigation on your own and look at the numbers. So imagine if you had a child who has a fever one day of 105. You would be in a full-scale panic, rushing to the emergency room, and then a couple years later, they have a fever of 100. your response to the fever of 100 is different because you once lived through the 105. And that's what we have now with shootings and violence. We have been in a serious way 30 years ago, but do not discount this. Do not look away and assume, oh, it's just COVID. This will go away. Don't worry about it. We really do need to focus on good public safety. And that takes politicians with some courage. And lately, they have not been showing much courage. We had a White House just the other day announced having serial numbers on ghost guns. And that today stands for brave leadership, which is pretty sad.
Well, let me ask you one more question about that. You were referring to President Biden announcing measures just this week to tackle gun crime. And what he proposed was a regulation on those ghost guns, guns that you can assemble from a kit at home without a serial number. You don't sound very impressed with that proposal. What advice do you have for policymakers in tackling this gun crime?
Well, I would say I'm not impressed because the problem is so much deeper than that. It's like, you know, your house is falling apart and we're celebrating that we finally got the carpet down in the front room. We need to focus on one step at a time, but we also have to have a long-term game plan. And that means confronting the money behind guns, the money behind gun transportation, interstate commerce, and then some of the constitutional debate that we have to have, that this whole idea of gun rights has become a political symbol, and people are being killed over this symbol, and we need to deal with that.
That's Professor Jeffrey Butts. He's director of the Research and Evaluation Center at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Professor Butts, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.